2 Timothy chapter 4. And our text is to be found in verse 20. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. And I want to take the second half of that text, or that verse as our text this morning. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. These are among the last words of Paul the Apostle, for we find them in the closing verses of his last epistle. Being a man who was now ready to be offered, and whose time of departure was at hand, he calls to mind the associates of his life. Indeed, I find that in this last chapter of this letter to Timothy, Paul mentions 17 names, most of them of his fellow laborers. 17 names comes into the mind of the great apostle at a time when he is aware that he will soon be led out and die a martyr's death. Among his memories of love, we find Paul recollecting Trophimus. Trophimus was fallen sick, and the apostle, we're told, had to leave him behind at Miletus. But who was this man? And what part did he have in the Lord's work? Well, we know that he was one of the apostle's companions in labor. We know from Acts 21 and verse 29 that this good man was an Ephesian. He was from Ephesus. And when Paul left him behind at Miletum, or Miletus, that was just 35 miles from his home, because Miletum is only 35 miles from Ephesus. And so, Trophimus was an Ephesian. He was indeed one of seven men who accompanied Paul on the return leg of one of his missionary journeys. And so we can see he was involved in the Lord's work. Acts 20 and verse 4, we read there of Trophimus and six others joining with Paul on his way home on one of his missionary journeys. And so we can see from this that he had been his companion in tribulation. He had been his companion in toil. But now he is sick and had to be left behind at Miletum. His name means nourishing. I have no doubt that when this young man was born, lay as a child in his mother's arms, she and her husband looked upon the child and named him Trophimus, because he had nourished them. He had been such an encouragement to them, and they were nourished in their hearts because of the arrival of this child, and they named him so. But I wonder, does his name tell us something about his character? By his presence and company with Paul, I believe that he encouraged and nourished the great apostle just through his company and through his laboring with him in the gospel. He was obviously a blessing to Paul and an encouragement to the apostle in the Lord's work. He no doubt nourished him in the things of God. But now this dear brother has been led aside. Indeed, he has been left behind. He's no longer involved in the Lord's work. He's no longer with Paul in one of his missionary journeys. He's no longer ministering in a church somewhere. He's been left behind at Miletum, sick. Sometimes, some of the Lord's choicest saints find themselves on a bed of sickness. Some malady has taken them out of circulation. And they're no longer able to contribute their time and energy and work to the service of the Lord. Indeed, Trophimus didn't have the strength or energy to continue with Paul, because the word therefore sick means to be without strength. And so we can see that his illness was serious. He was without strength. Sometimes we may be sick and feel sick, but we can still manage to keep on going. But not this time. As far as the servant of the Lord was concerned, he was so sick that he just hadn't the strength to go on. And Paul, we're told, left him at Miletum sick. That was Trophimus. He didn't have the strength to go on. Paul had to leave him behind. And as we consider this sick servant of God, my thoughts would go out to all who have been of late left at Miletum sick. My thoughts today go out to those of our own church family who would like to be here today, who would like to be more involved in the Lord's work, but they've been left behind at Miletum, sick. This is a word for them. This is a word for those saints of God who have been led aside of late and have been left behind at Miletum. And I want to consider this morning the subject of sickness and indeed coping with sickness. A sickness that is so severe that we do not have the strength to go on in the Lord's work, and like this servant of God, they're left behind at Miletum sick. I want us first of all to consider the truth about his sickness. For you see, there are some religious fanatics who today believe that God's children should never be sick. They say that all sickness is as a result of personal sin. And they also say, well, if a child of God does happen to fall sick, then there is healing for them. And God will always heal them. Now today, we want to look at the truth about sickness. Let's set aside all the fanaticism and the nonsense that is taught, and look at the truth. First of all, we look at Trophimus here, and Paul says that Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Here you have the reality of his sickness. He's a sick man. He is so sick that he did not have the strength to go with Paul. Paul had to leave him behind, and I'm sure Paul was reluctant to leave him behind. Nevertheless, he was so sick that he left him behind there at Miletum. Now, there is no indication whatsoever in all the references to Trophimus that he was a sinful man. But in fact, the opposite is true. He was very much involved in the Lord's work. He was right in the thick of the battle, because he was with Paul on one occasion when he went into the temple, and Trophimus, being a Gentile, caused quite a stir in the temple. And there was this servant of the Lord, right, standing right beside Paul in the thick of the battle. He was with him on one of his missionary journeys. There is no mention whatsoever of this man being a sinful, carnal individual. And yet, here's the reality. He's sick. He wasn't a sinful man. Instead, he was a spiritual man. He wasn't a carnal man. Going on a missionary journey with Paul would indicate he was a consecrated man. He was willing to do the work of God. He wasn't a fleshly man. He was a faithful man. And the reality is that from time to time, some of God's people will become sick. Some of God's choicest saints will be laid aside on a bed of sickness. And the Scriptures give us abundant evidence of this. This is the truth about sickness. Elisha. Would anyone dare stand up and say Elisha was a carnal man? Would anyone dare say Elisha was a fleshly man? Well, 2 Kings 13, verse 14, it says, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness. Elisha, man of God, who was called a man of God. That's how people identified him, as the man of God. Yet the man of God is sick of a sickness. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. We read there about one of the greatest spiritual leaders who ever lived. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He was a man of God. Galatians 4 verse 13. Once again, would anyone dare say that Paul was a sinful, carnal, fleshly man, and that's why he was sick? In Galatians 4, verse 13, Paul's sickness is here described as a thorn in the flesh. In Philippians 2, verses 25 to 27, turn please to Philippians. And it's good to look at the truth, and the truth about sickness. In Philippians 2, and verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. It was a choice saint. A brother in the Lord to Paul, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, a messenger, and a minister. For he longed after you all. He had a burden for the people of God, and he had a burden for the work of God. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. The Lord had taken him out of commission. His sickness had led him aside. this brother, this companion in labor, this fellow soldier of Paul, this minister, this messenger had fallen sick. Verse 27, Paul says, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. He was at death's door. That's what the words mean. He was a choice saint of God, yet he was at death's door. And what shall we say about Paul's son in the faith, Timothy? A young man, when I think of Timothy, I think of Robert Murray McShane in my mind anyway. I have the idea that the two men were very similar. McShane never enjoyed good health and died at a young age in the 30th year, as did David Brainard. These were mighty men. Holy McShane is how they used to speak of him. Yet he always seemed to be sick. You think of Spurgeon. We were learning about Spurgeon on Wednesday. Spurgeon suffered. He suffered from depression. And he suffered from gout. And had to leave his pulpit for weeks on end and go to the south of France and there to recover and recuperate. And he would send his sermons to his church so that they would be read out to the congregation. And he would ask his people to pray for him. Spurgeon was a spiritual giant, but he was sick. That's the reality. That's the truth about sickness and ears. Timothy. And Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for thy stomach sake and thine often infirmities. Often infirmities. Poor Timothy had to cope with his often infirmities. And in our language we would say had a bad stomach. He was ill all the time. Was he a carnal man? Was he a fleshly man? Was he a sinful man? Not at all. He was a spiritual young man, but he was sick. Now we have Trophimus, whom Paul left at Miletum sick. That's a fact. That's the reality of it all. And believer, the reality is, no matter what the religious fanatics of this day have to say about sickness in the life of the child of God, God's people do become sick. And for those of God's children who are sick at this time, well, you're in good company. You know, I thought to myself when I was preparing this message, think of all the names we've just mentioned. Elisha, Hezekiah, Epaphroditus, Paul, Timothy, Trophimus. My, if it was possible to gather them all together and put them into one ward in a hospital, there you would have in that one ward Elisha and Paul and Hezekiah. My, what a ward full of spiritual giants we would have. And yet, we'll go to say to Elisha and ask him, what's wrong with you, brother? And go to Hezekiah and say, what ails you, brother? And all say, oh, I'm sick. That's the reality of it. Let's take it a little further. That's the reality of his sickness. Now I consider the reason for his sickness. Paul says, Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Why? Why, we may not be told exactly what it was that ailed this man. But we do know that he was left behind in Miletum, and he was very sick, so sick that he didn't have the strength to get up and go on with Paul. So why was this choice sent of God allowed to languish on a sick bed in Miletum? Mark the words. Look at the words carefully. Trophimus, have I left? Paul left him at Miletum sick. But Paul, do you not have the power to heal? Has God not given you the power to heal the sick? Why did you leave him then at Miletum sick? Turn please to Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 11. Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. What does it say? God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And yet our text tells us that it was Paul who left Trophimus at Miletum sick. Why did Paul not heal him? Why did he leave him behind? Why did he leave him sick? Why didn't he put out his hand and touch this man and heal him? I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't God's will for Trophimus to be healed. It wasn't his will. The sovereign God, the judge of all the earth, who doeth right, determined in his divine will that Trophimus fall sick and be left behind at Miletum. Consider the people we mentioned earlier on, Elisha and Hezekiah. Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness. But it wasn't the Lord's will that Elisha be raised up again. And we read there in that text that Elisha died of his sickness. Why didn't the Lord heal Elisha and let him go on doing the great work he was doing? Because it wasn't his will. Hezekiah was sick unto death. The Lord had told him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's how near death he was. And we read that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. There he is, lying in a sick bed, and he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And we are told through the words of Isaiah that the Lord heard his prayer, saw his tears, and told Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer, I have seen his tears, and he will live. And the Lord added to the days of Hezekiah another 15 years. Why did he not do that with Elisha? Because it wasn't his will. Yet it was his will that he would raise up Hezekiah. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some believe it was a disease of the eyes. Others believe he suffered from malaria. Whatever it was to Paul a thorn in the flesh. Paul prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it. But the Lord didn't heal Paul of his thorn in the flesh. Instead, he told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul had to live with this thorn in the flesh, as did Timothy. Why didn't the Lord heal Timothy? Why did Timothy have to go on day after day after day with his often infirmities? Because it wasn't God's will. Epaphroditus. We are told he was sick, Paul says. Indeed, he was sick. Nigh unto death, he was at death's door. Well, we find it was God's will that Epaphroditus be raised up and get back into the work again. And yet, here we have Trophimus. He did not receive the healing touch from God, and so he was left at Miletum sick. You know, whenever we believe in a sovereign God, what a comfort it is to us to know that our God doeth all things well. He has his plan for your life and mine. He has had his plan for Trophimus. And in that plan, the servant of God was to be left at Miletum sick. That was in God's plan. Possibly he raised him up later on. We don't know. But at that time, it was part of God's plan for this man that he be left at Miletum sick. And Trophimus could rest in that. Trophimus could rest in that. Why he was left at Miletum sick was a reason known only to God. Why is it, dear child of God, that from time to time you and I are led aside on a bed of sickness and like Trophimus, at times we're left behind? You say, why? It's a reason known only to a sovereign God. And God, as we have said, doeth all things well. It's the reality and the reason. Now the report. Here's Paul, and he's writing to Timothy, his last letter before his hour of departure. And he writes in this letter to Timothy, "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." There's the report. He includes the plight of this dear man of God in his letter. He wants to inform Timothy. Wants to let him know. Timothy obviously knew Trophimus, knew him as a companion in the Lord's work, a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier. And Paul deemed it necessary to tell Timothy, let him know about his friend Trophimus, that he had to leave him at Miletum sick. Seemed to be something that the apostles did on a regular basis. That is, inform one another of their companions when they've been led aside in a bed of sickness. They made it known. What did we read there in Philippians 2 about Epaphroditus? Verse 26, Philippians 2, "For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." The word had got out. The word had been spread around. Epaphroditus is sick. It had been reported amongst the believers in the churches. It had got out. Paul says, indeed he was sick. the believers had heard. Believer, that's the way it should be. Even outside their denomination, a child of God, a fellow laborer, we hear that they've been led aside, that they've been left at Miletum sick. It's good to be informed that we might pray for them. We bear them up at the throne of grace. These words would also show us that Timothy needed to be informed. It also demonstrates that Paul believed Timothy would have been interested in the welfare of Trophimus. And so, believer, when we hear of one of our own has been left at Miletum sick, we're interested. We want to know about their welfare. We're interested in them. And we may show our interest, perhaps by a phone call. Ask them how they're doing. Let them know we're praying for them. An inquiry, just asking about them, shows that we're interested. The Lord Jesus Christ had an interest in the sick. In our study, in that series, The Touch of the Master's Hand, we noted how the Lord had this great interest in the sick. And when he saw the lepers, and when he saw the halt, and the maimed, and the blind, and the sick, we're told he was moved with compassion. He had an interest in them. He had an interest in the leper. He had an interest in that man at the pool of Bethesda. He had an interest in the blind. Let us have that same Christ-like interest in those who are sick. Even as Paul had this interest in Trophimus and knew that Timothy would be interested as well. Let us have this same Christ-like interest in those who have been left at Miletum sick. These words of Paul show us also that he remembered the sick. This is Paul's last letter, written while in bonds at Rome, while he waited the day of his execution, yet he still remembered Trophimus. That's quite something, isn't it? He remembered this sick brother whom he had left at Miletum. For the Apostle Paul, it wasn't a case of out of sight, out of mind. Paul had Trophimus very much on his mind and very much on his heart. He had been left behind at Miletum, but he hadn't been left out of his heart. Or left out of his mind, or left out of his prayers. Knowing Paul, I would have no doubt that while he was there in bonds at Rome, he was praying for his brother, whom he had to leave at Miletum sick. And dear child of God, when the sick are not with us, let us not forget them. But let us continue to remember them. Yes, like Paul, we have our own burdens and our cares, but let us, like Paul again, remember those that are left at Miletum sick. Remember them before the throne of grace. Remember them when we come together to worship. That's the truth about his sickness. Then we notice the timing of his sickness. This is interesting. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. When was he left behind? When did this dear child of God, this choice saint, when did he fall sick and when did he have to be left behind? It was at a time of great disappointment for Paul. Look at verse 9. Do thy diligence, he says to Timothy, to come shortly unto me, because Paul was left almost alone, humanly speaking. He says, only Luke is with me. So there's Paul and Luke, and there's nobody else there. And the next verse says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. What a disappointment that would have been for Paul. A young man who had been involved in the Lord's work. A young man who had labored with Paul. And yet it was at that time, at the time when Demas forsook the work of God, it was at that time Trophimus fell sick. I'm sure Paul, or perhaps he thought, this couldn't have happened at a worse time. This sickness of Trophimus, this man falling sick, meant me leaving him behind at Miletus. It couldn't have happened at a worse time. The time that Demas forsook me and forsook the work of God and went away back into the world. It was a disappointment to Paul. A disappointment to the preacher. And I have no doubt it was a disappointment to Trophimus too. I wonder, did he say, oh, why did it happen to me at this time? Paul needs me. The work of God needs me. And sometimes, believer, when we're led aside and we have to be left at Miletum sick, we torture ourselves with those very thoughts in our minds. Why did it happen at this time? So much I could be doing. Especially at a time when others have deserted the cause of Christ. Why did I fall sick at this time? So it happened at a time of disappointment. It happened at a time of departures. Yes, Demas. Our Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas had gone away back into the world. But others had departed. They had gone to other places. They hadn't deserted the cause of Christ. Rather, they had gone to other towns and cities to carry on the work of God. Cretans to Galatians, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Lucas with me, take Mark, verse 11, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So others departed. Others had to go elsewhere and carry the good news of the gospel. Paul seemed to have very few with him. Indeed, he only had Luke, and he wanted Mark to come, because he says it'll be profitable unto me. And in this letter he wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. I need help. I need your help. I need Mark's help. These other men have gone out and taken the gospel message elsewhere. I need help. We're thin on the ground. And it was at that time Trophimus fell sick. Now you would say it's at the wrong time. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that even though there were these departures and desertions, the work of God still went on. And how good it is to know that God's work doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. And when we are sick and we're led aside and we're left behind at Miletum, we may be left behind because of sickness. Bless His name, His work still goes on. Does that not lift the burden somewhat? Yes, we have the burden of sickness. But how much heavier that burden would be if we believed that the work of God depended solely on us. God's work still goes on. And to me, that relieves the burden. I've had people say, I wonder what will happen to the Free Presbyterian Church when Dr. Paisley dies. What will happen to the Free Church whenever the moderator's taken home to glory? Well, that's a simple answer. I wish every question was as easy as that to answer. What will happen when Dr. Paisley dies? Heaven will have gained a great saint and a great warrior, and the work of the Free Church will go on as usual. It'll be business as usual. Why? Because the Free Church is the work of God, not the work of Dr. Paisley. Yes, we bless the Lord for what God has done through the moderator. And we love him dearly and trust the Lord spares him for many years to be with us. But like us all, that day will come. And his seat will be empty and his pulpit will be empty. But the work will go on. And when we are at times left behind at Miletum sick, it's good to know that the work will still go on. As Jonathan said to his armor bearer, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Paul didn't have many around and he had only a few. But the work went on. And finally we have the teaching from his sickness. We've already learned some things from the sickness of Tychicus or Trophimus. He was left at Miletum sick. But I'm sure that this man himself learned many things while he lay there on his bed of sickness at Miletum. Just 35 miles from home. That would have been very frustrating for him, I'm sure. Only another 35 miles and he could have been there cared for at home. And I'm sure he learned many things. You know, whenever the Lord was working with his disciples and people, we're told, were coming and going and the disciples didn't even have time to eat, the Lord said, come ye apart and rest a while. And where did he bring them? He brought them into the desert. Brought them into the wilderness. He didn't bring them to some place where there were beautiful green palm trees and lush grass and running rivers and fountains. He brought them into the wilderness. And then what did he do? We're told that he sat down with his disciples. It was while they were in the wilderness that he spoke to them and he taught them. He took them away from the hustle and the bustle and all that they were involved in, into the wilderness. And when God lays us aside on a bed of sickness, it's like being taken into the wilderness. It's a place we don't like to be. But it's there, very often, that the Lord sits with us and talks to us. And that bed of sickness, because of the presence of Christ, can become a bed of roses. The rose of Sharon sits with us. And I believe Trophy must learn things from the Lord that time. I know one thing he learned. He learned that he was loved by the Lord. Sickness is a time when some feel that God doesn't love them anymore. If they have had to endure long periods of illness, they perhaps feel that the Lord has turned his back upon them. It is not true. It is not true. What was said by the sisters of Lazarus in John 11 and verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him the Lord Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them in his sickness. And so it is. You see, this is the friend we have, dear child of God. This is the Savior we have. It's the friend that is spoken of by Solomon. Solomon said in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Jesus Christ is our friend, and he is our elder brother. He's not a fair-weather friend. He's not one of those friends that just loves us when the sun is shining, or when we are in the pink of health. No, he loves us in the nighttime, and he loves us when the dark clouds of sickness have gathered over our heads. He loves us then. He's the true friend, because he's the friend who loves at all times. And believer, when you fall sick, and to those who are sick at this present time, Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you in your sickness. What a comfort that is, to know that we're loved. He hasn't turned his back upon us. He doesn't love us any less because we're sick. He was taught that he was loved, and we find also that Trophimus, when he was left at Miletum sick, was learning. Learning. He learned more about the sovereignty of God. Here was something that had happened to Trophimus that he couldn't explain. Hey, there he was. Paul needed him. There were few with Paul at that time. Other men had gone elsewhere to bring the gospel message to those who had never heard, and it was just at that time that Trophimus fell sick. He could have said, why did it happen at this time? Trophimus learned about the sovereignty of God. He couldn't explain it. He could just rest in God's sovereignty. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord there says, my ways are far above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. God's in control. He learned about the sovereignty of God. He learned to surrender to God. As a servant of the Lord, that was a lesson he had to learn early on in his ministry. You never think of learning surrender lying on a sickbed. You think more of surrender to the Lord and been challenged about going to the mission field or into the ministry or into soul time service somewhere. But you never think of surrender to the Lord on a sick bed. But Trophy must have learned that. He must learn surrender to go, and he must learn surrender to stay. It was God's will that he stayed. It was God's will that he stayed at Miletum. It wasn't God's will that he go on this occasion. And he had to learn surrender. And in sickness, that's a lesson we all learn. Surrender to God's will. I believe when he was left at Miletum sick, he was also laboring. He didn't have the physical strength to go, but I would have no doubt that Trophimus, when Paul left him at Miletum sick, that he said to Paul, "I'll be praying for you, brother. Go you on. I'll be remembering you in the work and prayer." And those times that we're left at Miletum sick, we can still carry on the work. Praise God, on a bed of sickness, we can lift our hearts to heaven and say, "Lord, bless the preacher, bless the church, bless thy work." We can still carry on the work of prayer. And I believe something else that he learned. I believe he learned to lean. He learned to lean on Jesus. When things are going well, and the sun is shining, and everything seems to be going for us, we can sometimes go off on our own. But when we're sick, we're leaning on Christ. We're like the bride coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. We can lean on his arms. We can do as John did. Where did John lean on Christ? He leaned on his breast. And in that sick room, Jesus Christ is there. And when we are sick, we can lay our head on the breast of Christ. We can lean on him, and he'll carry us through. But Trophimus, have I left at Miletum? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we do thank Thee for men like the Apostle Paul, for men like Trophimus and Epaphroditus, men like Luke and Mark, and Lord, these great men whom Thou didst use. And we thank Thee, Lord, that we can be encouraged, get encouragement from their ministries. And even, Lord, be encouraged when these great giants of the faith are laid aside on a bed of sickness. Oh, Lord, how it is a source of encouragement and comfort to know that even the choicest of God's saints are sometimes left at Miletum sick. And again, we remember those of our church family who are at this very time at Miletum sick. Lord, again, we pray for Doreen that Thou will bless her and touch her with Thy healing power. We remember Tom. Lord, bless him and touch him with Thy healing power. We remember Eli. Lord, be pleased to touch, give him the strength that he needs to get out to the house of God. And Lord, we remember the Timothys as well. Those, Lord, who suffer day and daily with their often infirmities. Lord, we remember them as well. Ask the Lord to bless. Oh Lord, write the word in our hearts just now. May we meditate upon it, and may it be a source of comfort and ministry to our souls. Our loving Father, be with us as we leave the Lord's house. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.